This is a podcast from thebuglepodcast.com.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello and welcome to another Bugle bonus as we approach show 200. This week, it's the turn of Andy Zaltzman. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Chris. Hello, Buglers.
How are you doing today, Andy?
I'm doing it okay, thanks, Chris.
Are you excited about Bugle 200?
Well, I think it's going to be one of the greatest moments in the history of human civilization, Chris. So, yes, of course I'm excited about it. It's the 21st century's Sistine Chapel ceiling, I like to think of it, but more so.
I've got about, I've got loads of questions for you. We've had hundreds submitted, so I'm going to crack on with them right away. Straight up, let's set the scene. James Walkerdean, what is the Bugle?
What is the Bugle? Well, the Bugle is the single most reliable source of facts and news in the universe, I would say. That might not entirely be a fact or news, but I think the point stands. It's pretty, I think, a bastion of hope in an otherwise gloomy world. It's something that people can cling on to in metaphorically and literally stormy weather. It's basically the one thing that is keeping the planet just about ticking over. I don't think I'm going over the top when I say that, but I guess we'll let history be the judge.
You're holding back. Yeah. David Maguire and Erica Gottfried, very similar questions from those. What's your daily routine before recording the Bugle? Does it involve a life-size cutout of Florence Nightingale and a tub of goat cheese? And Erica adds, do you just wing it every week?
The question about the Florence Nightingale life-size cutout and the goat cheese is currently sub judice, so I'm not at liberty to comment on that until the court case is completed. The last sort of 48 hours before a Bugle involved a lot of visualization exercises, some altitude training where I write some jokes and then float up in a hot air balloon to see if they work at 30,000 feet. Obviously eating a lot of high carb foods, you got a carbo load before doing an intensive podcast such as the Bugle, and just reading passages from the Bible just to calm myself down. So basically that, plus frantically catching up on news and desperately trying to see the funny side as the world slowly rips itself to pieces. So we don't wing it. No. We partially wing it, but those wings have been at least tested in advance. So we're not. This is not an Icarus style production. This is more a quality aircraft.
There is less air. The higher up you go, does the lack of oxygen and the altitude training suggest how the pun run came into existence?
Yeah, I guess a lack of oxygen has been proved to cause greater incidence of puns. As anyone who's seen my live show in the last year will know, that Forster syndrome, a medical condition that makes you more predisposed to punning. So I guess altitude could definitely play a part in that. It'd be interesting to have a full transcript of exactly what Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay were talking about as they headed to the top of Mount Everest in 1953. It's probably just gag after gag after gag. In fact, I might see for the next Bugle, I might see if I can discover the long lost transcript from that. As you know, we've uncovered a lot of very important documents, so including, of course, John Grisham's unpublished Congressman's Penis novel, and the full details of what happened when Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel a long time ago. So maybe that could be the next Bugle exclusive, is what Hillary and Tenzing were saying to each other as things were increasingly tensing up and becoming hilarious. I'd imagine it was along those lines.
You mentioned the congressman's penis. Paul West asks, if it was made into a TV series, or better yet, he says a Hollywood blockbuster, who would you cast as Stantonio, and who is the penis?
Well, I think the Bugle's American would make a very good Stantonio.
Yep.
Regarding the penis, I don't know. Is Bob Hope still alive? I mean, he's probably shriveled up enough to perform a pretty
lot. He'll look like a penis in a cold room, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's no criticism of the man, but Yeah, I've not really thought too much about the casting of it. I mean, we're still very much in the early stages of getting the congressman's penis made as a Hollywood blockbuster. So, yeah, who can say? Maybe I don't know. John Cusack. He could probably do a job for.
Wow.
Hulk Hogan. We know he's a massive Bugle fan.
Cusack and Hogan. Yeah, nice. Mark Neymark asks, what's the artistic process that you follow coming up with your pun fests? And just what the f*** is wrong with them? What the f*** is wrong with him? And I think when he says him, he means you.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't really want to give away secrets of the trade. You know, the techniques that go into creating a pun run have been honed over generations in the Zaltzman family. It's secrets passed down very much like the recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken, but healthier. And what do you mean, what is wrong with me? What kind of question is that? Well, I mean, I take deep, lifelong personal offence to that. You know, everyone knows that the pun really, really offers truth to the world in a format that it doesn't necessarily always seek truth in. So I think, you know, it's basic. You know, it's comedic medicine, I think. You know, right. You might not enjoy it at the time, but it's doing you long term good.
Brad Skinner asks, if you were doing a pun run in the middle of a forest, would anyone hear John scream?
well
done, Brad.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the ultimate philosophical quandaries, isn't it? That's I mean, that's the same as, you know, if you're on a raft in the middle of the ocean and you hit yourself in the face, are you an idiot? No one knows. There's no right or wrong answer to this. I would say that I would hope the echoes of it, as Maximus immortally said in Gladiator, what we do in this life echoes in eternity. And I think, you know, the puns we tell in this life will echo in eternity. So I would hope that even if John is not there in the forest to fully appreciate the puns, He will be haunted in the afterlife by their distant echo.
Finally, last question on the puns from Chris Puma. Great surname. How much does it cost to commission a bespoke pun run? Let's say there was a topic that my partner particularly cared about and I wanted to surprise him with a lovely handcrafted pun run about it as a birthday gift.
Well, I mean, the average pun run takes between, 6 and 9 months to create. You know, it's not just the writing the puns, it's testing them out on animals to make sure that they're valid and safe for public consumption. So, I mean, there's a lot of research goes into that, some high-tech equipment, you know, calculating the finest wordplay available to humanity. So, you know, if you're thinking about all the overhead costs and the time taken, I'd say probably around about £15.
There you go, Chris. You've had a quote. There's been several people asking about the audio cryptic crossword, Andy. Yep. Ever again?
Well, I mean, never say never. I know it's split opinion, and didn't just split it, but lathered it in ice cream and whacked a cherry on top. So, I'm not sure. You know, I might have to consult with John, see if he's open to that, but.
What do you think John's answer would be?
Oh, he'd probably tell me where to stick myself, but you know, that's just the start of negotiations, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I'd quite like to do another one, but you know, that might cause ructions that bring about the end of the Bugle, so it might be a high risk operation.
Adam Button, you can use the curse of the Bugle to get rid of anyone in the world. Who do you choose?
To get rid of them, what, to have them annihilated? Yeah. I mean, that's
who do you want dead, Andy? That, come on, tell us.
That's a tough one, particularly as my wife is sitting just in the next room. So, but that's a tough question. I'm not really into killing people.
You don't have to answer it, Andy. I'm not expecting you to.
Yeah, Seth Blatter. And Michel Platini, possibly.
Okay,
in terms of football administrator. Most sports administrators, I think the world could probably do without. Maybe we should set up a lunar colony only for sports administrators so that they can only ruin sports on the moon and not on Earth, as they've been sent here to do so by whatever malevolent deity is running this place.
Does my administration of the North East London Cricket League's website count towards that, and therefore do I need to get the ticket to the moon?
Well, I don't know what crackpot crazy schemes you've come up with, like Michelle.
I expect all teams to submit their reports by Sunday night, Andy.
To me, you know, as an objective outsider, that seems reasonable, Chris. I might let you off.
Okay, thank you.
No, that's probably how Blatter started as well.
We had a couple of disaster-themed questions, which was quite surprising, and I thought I'd put a couple of them to you. Kevin Hiscox, if you were caught in an alive disaster-type scenario with food rations non-existent, who would you rather eat, John or me?
Well, John is...
Thanks.
I mean, John is quite he's quite a scrawny individual. Chris, I know you're a tremendous physical specimen. You know, one of the world's leading triathletes. And
I'm more of a meal.
And obviously you did lose the London Marathon, but you had injury problems. So lots of people lost that marathon. There's only one winner, 30,000 total losers. So, but I reckon you'd probably make better meats than John. And John, you'd probably want to boil down for stock. Whereas I reckon you could get some pretty decent steaks out of you, Chris. So I'd probably go for you first, and then if things got really desperate, then I'd eat John second.
Well, that quote's going on my CV. So, thank you. Nathan Burgess, you're in an aeroplane. Yeah. The engines have failed and the plane is going down. There are only two parachutes and you are wearing one.
Yeah.
Also on the plane with you, John Oliver, producer Chris, your lovely wife.
Yeah.
And a life-size statue of Florence Nightingale made entirely of Serrano ham. Who gets the second parachute?
Right, is this plane definitely going down?
It's going down.
Right. Oh, man, that is a tough call. And that really is a tough call.
She's in the room next to
you. She's in the room. Obviously, my wife would definitely be on the list of contenders. But, Serrano ham is, if I'm going to have to think about... If this is a similar scenario to the previous one where I might have to eat a person to survive, then I probably don't want to have to eat my own wife, whereas a statue of Florence Nightingale made out of Serrano ham. No, there'd be no guilt involved in that. It'd be a tribute as much as anything. So I think I'd probably go with the Serrano ham statue and trust that John's Hollywood connections could get him out of trouble and get you and the wife out of trouble as well.
That's very, very diplomatically put.
Yeah.
Kevin Lyder, three questions. One of them I'll answer. Who's your favourite producer? That's obviously me, not Tom.
Yeah.
why do you think John is so bad at coming up with puns?
Well, I think he fears the pun. And it's probably something to do with his upbringing. Maybe he had a difficult relationship with his parents when he was young. And that can really restrict a person's ability to make puns. That's why... That's only why Hitler made so few puns, I think.
Yeah.
He fears the comedic beast that could be awakened within him. He did make a pun recently on the Bugle.
He did.
Spontaneous pun. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was kind of like something really dirty had happened.
That's when you chip away that iceberg, then underneath you may find an ice cream, as Aristotle said. So maybe that'll be the way with John and puns. I don't know. It's a great mystery. It's one of his significant flaws as a human being, that and shirking tackles on the football pitch.
Finally, this is a question I actually get asked most weeks, and as any regular Bugler will know, we did say we were taking a few weeks off.
Yep.
But given that Bugle 200 is just 7 days away as we record this,
awesome.
Kenneth Leung asks, "Where's my f***ing Bugle?"
Well, that's a legitimate question. People seem to ask that.
It is.
Within usually about 5 minutes of us having recorded it, which I think is expecting too much, even as of a producer as efficient as you, Chris. So,
thank you.
So, but Bugle 200 will be very much worth waiting for. And as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it will also hopefully coincide with the launch of official Bugle merchandise a mere 4¾ years after we started doing the Bugle. As the ruthless commercial enterprise that we've always been. So, exciting times, Buglers. Hang on. The wait will make it sweeter.
Andy Zaltzman, congratulations on all your success. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. It's been an honour and a career highlight to talk to you.